A whole gang of media snoopers, including Jonathan Marks, scans from D.C. to daylight every Thursday here on Radio Netherlands. Their super-duper whopper-doppler-receiver gizmos pick out the essence of what's happening in the world of international broadcasting. Radio Netherlands, we have the technology.
Hello, this is Jonathan Marks via PCJ Online. Just about to push the button on another programme from the media network Vintage Radio Archives.
Radio Netherlands. For those of you listening on a really old receiver, Radio Netherlands.
Media Network. Radio Netherlands Weekly Communications Review with Jonathan Marks.
I'm glad you found time to join us as we survey what's new in the broadcasting world. We start in Norway, where it's been announced that Radio Free Burma is to be the name of a new political clandestine station due to start on July the 19th. Anna Fjørtoft is the spokesman for the organisers Worldview International, and they're based in Oslo.
Worldview and the Burma Committee Norway has got the licence from the Norwegian government to broadcast on shortwave to Burma. We have then offered this to the exile Burmese government, the democratically elected government, and they are going to, within a certain mandate, to prepare the programs, which will be open also to all the ethnic groups in Burma. We will start on Sunday. That is the National Heroes Day in Burma. It's a very important day, and we will broadcast on 17,840, starting at 14:30 GMT. That is 9 o'clock Burmese time in the evening.
I'm with you. And how long is the broadcast?
We will start with 25 minutes, but we have an option to go to 1 hour a day. Yeah, we know that there are already other programs penetrating into the country, like the BBC, we have the Voice of America and others, and they will announce that this program will start from the 19th, and they will give the wavelength and so on to them.
The program tapes of Radio Free Burma, which will broadcast daily at 14:30 UTC, exclusively in Burmese, are being shipped up to the transmitter site of Radio Norway International, that's at Kvitsøy. The antenna on 17840 kHz is beamed at 80 degrees. The programme contents have nothing to do with the NRK's Radio Norway International, though. The initial contract for Radio Free Burma will run until the end of September. If you're interested in medium-wave listening, you might want to mark your diary for December. According to Daniel Gitua, who's the head of technical services at the Kenyan Broadcasting Corporation, work is proceeding at their Garissa transmitting station to more than double the total output power of the facility. That should mean that 720 and 1224 kHz medium-wave will rise from 10 to 50 kilowatts each. BBC Monitoring noted an announcement on Radio Tanzania's national service, which says that arrangements are being made to expand the output of the Voice of Tanzania, Zanzibar, from the present 11 to 18 hours a day. These plans are to be finalised after the completion of a new studio in October of this year and the arrival of a new transmitter. The station will then introduce an external service in English. And now to the answer line, Hilversum 724222, and a call we got from Britain.
Hello, Jonathan. This is Sean O'Donnell in North London, and I found a very interesting and very lively Irish station for the Irish community here in Great Britain. This is their opening announcement.
Broadcasting on the FM waveband, you're listening to the new radio service for the Irish community living in the northwest London area. Irish Festival Radio brings you the best in entertainment, music, news and information throughout the day. Call in now with your requests and dedications. 071-284-3042.
Yes, Irish Festival Radio, they have a legal license to broadcast until the 29th of July. They're on 100.4. FM.
Well, thanks for that call. Back to shortwave. Andy Sennett from the World Radio TV Handbook is sitting in on this transmission. He's brought some media news with him too. What have you got?
Well, first, an update on the schedule of Radio Yugoslavia from Belgrade. Along with our colleagues at BBC Monitoring, we checked earlier this week and found that English to Europe is now at 18:30 to 19 hours UTC on 7200 and 6100 kHz. This transmission includes material produced by the UN peacekeeping forces. The second English programme for Europe is at 21 hours to 21:30 UTC on the same two frequencies.
Well, here's a recording made in Hilversum at 21:28 UTC last night on the frequency of 6100 kHz.
You've been listening to Radio Yugoslavia's broadcast in English to Western Europe on 6100 and 7200 kHz. Listeners in Western Europe will be able to hear us again tomorrow at 18:30 hours UTC on 6100 and 7200 kHz, or at 2100 hours UTC on the same frequency.
What about transmissions to North America, Andy?
Well, Radio Yugoslavia also has two broadcasts in English. At midnight 30 to 01 hours and at 01:30 to 02 hours, they're both on 11870 kHz. A morning broadcast to North America is also announced for 11:30 to 12 hours on 17740 kHz, but as far as we know, this hasn't actually been heard.
We've also been getting a lot of reports about good reception of the shortwave transmitters in Croatia. Some reporters suggest that the power must be a great deal more than the 10 kilowatts that you've listed in the World Radio TV Handbook. Any thoughts on that?
Yes, well, during the daytime, 9830 kHz comes in with a massive signal here in the Netherlands, so I tend to agree that it must be more than 10 kilowatts. But it so happens that there is a shortwave transmitter factory actually located in Zagreb, and I expect they've been working flat out to get some additional transmitters on the air. These may very well be 100 kilowatt units, or perhaps even more. The relatively weak signal on 5085 kHz is probably from a low-power utility transmitter that's also been pressed into service, and I wouldn't be surprised to hear additional Croatian shortwave frequencies appear. In fact, the most recent addition has been in the 22-metre band on 13640 kHz, 13640. Other frequencies used by Croatia are 21480, 9830, as I mentioned, 7240 and 6210 kHz.
Yes, it can come in very handy to have a transmitter manufacturer right on your doorstep when you need one.
Indeed, but some shortwave signals that have disappeared recently are the Cuban relay of Radio Moscow and the Russian relay of Radio Habana. Richard Misham at BBC Monitoring tells me that these have not been heard since the end of June. And another Russian station which seems to have disappeared is Radio Trek in Yekaterinburg, which had been operating on 6910 kHz at 16 to 18 hours UTC. Shigenori Aoki in Japan mentions in a comprehensive monitoring report that he hasn't heard that transmission since early June. Incidentally, we got that report via the computer bulletin board operated by the Voice of America, thanks to fellow Japanese DXer Tetsuya Kondo, who uploaded it there a few days ago.
And it's clear that an increasing amount of up-to-date media news is being distributed by computer these days, but also by phone. Let's take another call.
Hello, this is Julius Hermans. On Saturday night, I heard Yerevan, Armenia, with an English news commentary at 21:55 on 9450. According to my information, Yerevan should have a French program at this hour, and no English is scheduled. Reception on 9450 was very strong, so I doubt whether this is an Armenian-based transmitter.
In fact, Julius, Radio Yerevan's English service has expanded quite a bit, it seems. The starting time of the English segment seems to vary. Check around 21:45 UTC on 11920, as well as the 9450 kHz you mentioned, and an hour later, around 22:40 UTC, there's a repeat to North America on three frequencies, namely 17660, 12050 and 11920 kHz. Julius also asks what happened to the BBC's Radio 3 network on medium wave in Britain. Well, the network is now FM only, and the channel of 1215 kHz has been allocated by the Radio Authority in Britain to Independent Music Radio, a subsidiary of the Virgin TV AM group. Today, Thursday, July 16th, sees the start of 5 days of testing on 1215 kHz from Brookman's Park. That's a transmitter site north of London. The original 50 kilowatt transmitter is being used, and the modulation is coming from DAT tapes at TVAM Studios in Camden. Engineers are conducting the tests to establish the reception conditions in the London area, but no doubt a listenable signal will get a lot further. Meanwhile, on Tuesday, the BBC announced it will start a continuous news and current affairs network on the existing Radio 4 longwave channel of 198 kHz. The service will start when all of the UK can receive the Radio 4 FM network as well, so that'll be at the start of 1994. BBC is also discussing a national television news service by combining with Sky News.
Now, Jonathan, some news has arrived just too late for last week's media network. The Italian radio relay service is currently conducting test transmissions to North America between 0130 and 0330 UTC on 7125 kHz, 7125. These tests started on July the 11th and will continue until July the 24th. All the programmes in this time period are in English, and IRRS wants reception reports to PO Box 10980, I20110, Milan, Italy. Tom Sundstrom in New Jersey reports that the signal was fine at his location on July the 11th until 0300 UTC, at which time the Voice of America signed on in Bulgarian.
Now, perhaps you recall this jingle.
It is Radio Norte, International.
Well, it seems there is a connection between the old offshore pirate RNI and a new station which signed on officially at 12.30 UTC on Monday, July 13th. Well, there can't be many radio stations in the world that have a bell tower like that and such a luxurious setting as this. It's a homestead in a well-to-do part of Naarden, just to the south of Amsterdam, and home of Radio Noordzee Nationaal, the first station to get a national commercial radio license from the Dutch Minister of Culture, Hedy Dancona. Stations like Sky Radio, Radio 10 and RTL Radio may have started earlier using studios here in Holland, but they've had to send their signal to satellites via foreign uplink stations in order to get round the Dutch media law. That's now been changed to allow national commercial broadcasting. So let's go inside to meet the managing director of Radio Noordzee Nationaal, Martin Banger.
Beginning of the 70s, Radio Noordzee International, one of the two big Dutch radio stations who operated from for the coast of Holland, from the North Sea, it was initialized in this old building. The complete operation was run by the Sengels company, then and now the new radio station too. They had the studios and the offices in this magnificent old farmhouse.
Now, so what are you doing now? I mean, the title has changed. It's Radio Noordzee Nationaal. It's also a Dutch title too, so that says something about it.
The Radio Noordzee Nationaal started as an initiative of the Dutch Organization of Professional Authors, who are supported morally by the author rights organization BUMA and Kunamis, a daughter, a full daughter of BUMA. Those organizations are a bit afraid of the future of Dutch music. When you, for instance, in 1980, the market share of Dutch music in complete radio was about 25-26%. 10 years later, 1990s, it was only 12%. That's not good. That's not good for our Dutch national culture. That's not good for national economics. So the Dutch organization said, we want a window for Dutch music. And that became Radio Noordzee Nationaal.
Dit is Radio Noordzee Nationaal.
Maandag 13 juli 1992. Dames en heren, goedemiddag. U luistert naar Radio Noordzee Nationaal.
And so they signed on. But is the Dutch public waiting for a national commercial radio station that plays everything from pop through folk to cabaret, with the single connecting factor simply being that each title has a Dutch connection? Austria has a network which puts out a lot of Austrian folk music. That works. But will it work here? We'll have to see. Mind you, there's a curious system to the music business here. Record companies employ pluggers who bang on the doors of the domestic radio stations promoting certain artists. When the station plays the record, the Performing Rights Society, BUMA, bangs on the door to demand payment. Both commercial and public service stations recently created a storm of protest when they discovered that the BUMA had planned to invest its money in a competing national radio station, Radio Noordzee Nationaal.
But in the meantime, there are a lot of private investors who say this radio station will be a success. We pump money in it and we don't have to need the guaranteed loan of Buma. There's no Buma money in the radio station.
Okay, is it very expensive? I mean, you've got your distribution sorted out by the cable, isn't it?
We are distributed by the cable. That means that we have to use a satellite transponder. We have to pay for the cable. It is a very, very expensive hobby making a radio station, even a commercial radio station. It'll cost about 4 million Dutch guilders a year.
Do you also hope to get on the FM, in other words, onto the ether?
Well, we are the first legal Dutch commercial radio station. We hope that in early next year, when the Dutch government will give free FM frequencies for commercial radio, that we will be the first two to get that FM frequency.
But at the moment, it's all via the cable?
At the moment, it's only on the cable. In the meantime, about 2 million households can receive the Radio North Sea National. By the end of this year, that will be 3 million.
Blijf voor meer informatie dus afgestemd op Radio Noordzee Nationaal.
Well, it's back in the car. What does it say next on the script? Cue jingle. I know what that means.
Radio Netherlands, Europe's untamed radio station.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh no, I have been listening to WWV all day, and now I'm feeling repetitive at the tone Eastern Standard Time.
Aha, so how seriously do you take the hobby of listening to shortwave radio? The Society to Preserve the Engrossing Enjoyment of DXing, SpeedX, is a US club that clearly takes it very seriously. In his July European column of the club magazine Shortwave Radio Today, Bob Colyard in New Jersey, USA, adds some comments. Following a logging which notes that Media Network was busy with the usual stories about the decline of shortwave listening and the increase in satellite services, Bob says in part,
"Where's my soapbox? Jonathan, I don't listen to shortwave for the services. I listen for the chance to hear something I don't normally hear on my AM or FM or cable. I tune in for the things my government or big business don't want me to listen to. Freedom of choice, that's what it's called. And if anybody out there thinks that Radio Netherlands going strictly to satellite would be a great loss, think again. Trust me, if the big powerhouses move off shortwave, the more good DX we DXers would enjoy. Obviously, Jonathan Marks was never a true DXer, or he wouldn't keep pushing this garbage."
Actually, there doesn't seem to be much logic in that argument at all. Shortwave receiver manufacturers don't continue to develop new shortwave sets so that just a handful of people can listen to the domestic services of far-off countries. And the radio stations on the tropical bands are not waiting for reception reports from thousands of kilometres outside their intended target area. I often get the chance to meet other broadcasters from stations in Africa and Latin America, and some of the foreign letters they get from so-called DXers are quite appalling. They're a blatant demand for a piece of paper, and the broadcasters know only too well that a genuine interest in their country isn't there. It'll end as soon as a QSL card pops through a letterbox. It's no coincidence that we've published free brochures explaining how to write useful reception reports to international broadcasters, and some home truths about corresponding with domestic broadcasters. Media Network has never been a DX programme. If you're actively scanning the dial looking for weak signals, chances are high you'll note changes before we can get them on the air. The vast majority of listeners to this programme want to know the background to what they're hearing, and that's what we try to provide, using a limited budget and a great deal of enthusiasm from volunteer reporters around the globe. If stations, including the tropical broadcasters, are switching from shortwave to satellite in the long term, we'll report it. Mind you, if you really want to hear a radio station, satellites do seem to be the answer. Take London commercial radio station Jazz FM. They were quite surprised to get a call from the CNN office in Atlanta, Georgia recently, requesting a record. So they called to find out how they could be heard over there. CNN explained that by popular request, Jazz FM had been put onto CNN's audio feed to Atlanta, so staff at headquarters could enjoy the music. But getting back to that soapbox for a second, why not let us know your comments about the hobby side of shortwave listening as we sit here planning the winter schedule for Radio Netherlands? It's sometimes curious to read complaints in DX magazines that a station in country X takes so long to reply to letters, when that country's in the midst of a drought, economic crisis, or even a bloody war.
What lies behind the truth? Radio Netherlands investigates.
An item in a US trade magazine caught my eye this week, announcing that the company of ID Logic Incorporated had agreed to test a new system of shortwave program labelling with both the Voice of America and the BBC. With the continually changing shortwave schedules, it would be nice if a radio receiver could display the name of the station you tune to, and also new alternative frequencies in case reception got poor in the course of a transmission. ID Logic Incorporated proposes an idea at the moment which involves the radio station broadcasting a number of seconds of digital data before programmes commence. You'd recognise it as a sort of buzzing noise. Walter Lefleur, Director of Engineering and Technical Operations at the Voice of America in Washington, D.C., says they hope that receivers of the future will have more intelligent tuning capabilities.
Well, yes, I think that's the question we're going to explore with BBC and ID Logic. Is it practical with the frequency allocations continuously changing in shortwave, with the propagation continuously changing? Will it be practical to either select by broadcaster or by content? The radio would have to have a database that that had all the information that allowed the appropriate selection. And the idea would be that you would find a way to update this database in the shortwave receiver periodically.
So what are we talking about, 5 years' time?
I have no idea.
About a year ago, Germany's external service, Deutsche Welle, announced they were working on a similar idea, although their scheme involved broadcasting a continuous stream of inaudible data alongside the radio programme, instead of a sort of digital burst before a broadcast. Their system's called AMDS, standing for AM Data System. Peter Zenger of Deutsche Welle's RF department in Cologne has been giving me an update as to how their development's going.
Well, we are proceeding with our project, and most probably in this year we will start a real field test with a special modulator and with special receivers. We will publish it early enough for other broadcasters that they can participate. They have to buy a receiver, which is not very cheap, unfortunately. It's a test receiver, specially equipped with the decoder of the signals. And we will run, in general, in three steps. We will have a short-distance test first, then we will have a medium-range test, and then maybe a long-range test. We will try maybe synchronized frequencies to see out how it behaves. So after a year or 2 years of time, we might be a bit further than today.
Is any of this development also happening on medium wave too? Because at the time, I think the ARD was also interested in the system for medium wave use.
Yes, that's right. It's actually the same project, only we are not so much interested in medium wave, especially not in Central Europe at the moment. We are more interested in shortwave to make shortwave more attractive for our listeners worldwide.
Like the ID Logic system being proposed in the States, the AMDS system puts frequency information into digital form that only specially adapted radios can decipher.
It is part of our project because we have the same in mind as well, telling the receiver on which frequency our programs are distributed. But in addition, we can also name our program. We can later on, maybe the receiver can select the best frequency and so on and so on.
But this works continuously. So once you've tuned into Deutsche Welle, for instance, I mean, after a few minutes or whatever, the radio's getting this stream of data and can sort it out. Whereas a system that's been suggested in the States is a sort of one-off, 1 minute just before broadcast that all the data comes. If you miss it, that's bad luck.
Yeah, and maybe another disadvantage is you have to know at least one frequency. Otherwise, you don't get this package with our system. at the end, hopefully, you just put in DWDP for a German program, and then the receiver is looking on its own on which frequency is Deutsche Welle broadcasting its German program. So I think there's a great, great advantage against the other system, which I will not criticize, but I think this system we are working on has more advantages.
Can the system also work with SSB, or don't you see the SSB coming, even though there's been a decision at work?
Yeah, that's a question we were asked very often. First of all, we think we should try it on DSB. And in case SSB comes, one has to think of other solutions, and there might be new ideas to get data over shortwave.
Peter Zenger. Well, I personally hope that one of those systems succeeds, and of course that everyone agrees on a worldwide standard. In the meantime, it's listening the good old-fashioned way. Arthur Cushion in New Zealand has come up with some suggestions now from his listening post in Invercargill, New Zealand. And you've been listening to Alaska, I understand.
Yes, some news from Alaska. KNLS, their English broadcast 1300 to 1400, is now on 11580 kilohertz. Australia, having recently been in Melbourne, I listened to 3RPH, print-disabled radio, and very good signals, of course, on 1179 kilohertz. And while listening at Marlow at the recent convention, I heard 5RPH, that's in Adelaide, and that's on 1197 kilohertz.
What about the new relay of Radio Japan via the BBC's Skelton transmitter site in the northern part of England? Have you been able to hear that even though you're outside the target area?
Yes, very well in early June, Jonathan. The tests were well received, and of course now they're in regular operation, 0400 to 0700, and the frequency 9695. Two other channels are in use, that's 9670 and 9770, English at 0500. Here in New Zealand, the ZLXA print-disabled radio using 7290 to 50 watts is now in regular operation. Sunday to Thursday, 2200, through to Monday to Friday, 0600, and then they continue on ZLXA 3935. Here's a recording of the typical station announcement.
This is print-disabled radio, 2XA, 1602 kHz, and ZLXA, 7290 kHz, broadcasting nationwide from Levin, New Zealand.
Palau. The signals from Palau are quite disappointing here, considering it's 100 kilowatt, though we've heard English broadcasts at 0100 on 11980 kHz. The other transmission on 9830 still continues to be heard, signing off at 1600. Papua New Guinea stations provide good reception up to 2000 when most stations test with light music. On 3260, a very good signal, at 2000 they relay the news from Port Moresby in English and Pidgin. And that's a broadcast originating from Madang. Saipan, KHBI, broadcast in English to this area, 0800 1000 UTC, 13615, and the new frequency 15665 are in use. Tonga, the return of the shortwave service seems to be a long way off. Since the transmitter was moved to the new building, there has been a fault in the shortwave transmitter, and the actual commencement date on shortwave again has not been determined. Uzbekistan. Tashkent has been heard with what seems to be a new English transmission, 0100 0130. They announced the frequencies as 7235, 7325, 9740 and 11975. 11975 gives the best reception. From Latin America, on medium wave, an interesting signal is that of the Voice of America with its relay stations in Belize. 1530 and 1580 kilohertz are used, and the station closed at 0500 with a VOA program called VOA Express. Guatemala and TGNA, 3300 kilohertz, 90 meter band, closes in English at 0430. To Africa, and at the convention at Marlow, we heard good reception of Congo on 4765, news in French at 2000.
And that's where we end this nostalgic trip back into the Media Network audio archives from 1981 to October 2000. If you find all this stuff interesting, you might want to explore the Critical Distance website, where you can find more vintage audio shows, but also peruse recent video interviews I've made in the course of my travels around the world. Some of the videos actually follow up on points raised in the Media Network programme. So zip over to www.jonathanmarks.com for more details. In the meantime, this is Jonathan Marks saying back soon. Bye for now.